It's our pleasure today to be talking with Ashley Wolf Tornabane. Ms. Tornabane is seeking the Democratic Party nomination as a candidate for the Iowa 4th District of the United States House of Representatives. Wolf Tornabane, 35, grew up in Storm Lake and lives there with her husband Dylan and their two children. She's a stay-at-home mom and previously was an instructional assistant at her public school and director of Christian education at the church she grew up at and still attends. She learned about the needs of people there and the education system. Iowa has changed since she grew up. There are fewer family farms, there are dying towns, there's a limited rural health care, and the education system has fallen from the front to the middle of the pack. Wolf Tornabane found inspiration to run for office from the nonprofit organization She Should Run, and believes women are underrepresented in public office. As of January 3, 2025, there are 125 women in the U.S. House of Representatives, making up 28.7% of the total membership. Women make up 51.1% of the U.S. population. Ashley characterizes herself as a progressive Democrat running for U.S. House of Representatives for Iowa's 4th District because it's time for a change. A mom, an everyday Iowan who believes the government should work for you. Ashley, tell our listeners something about yourself they'll not find on your website or with a search engine.
Oh, something about myself outside of that. Okay, well, I hope that they will go to my website and find out about my background. But other than that, I love to bake. I love to sing. My favorite author is Jane Austen, and I love to write.
I assume you've been going around the district and visiting a variety of places. As you talk with people, what are their most frequent concerns?
Yes, I'm glad you asked this. As soon as I launched my campaign on July 4th, we started a listening tour, and because I wanted to hear what the main concerns were from people. And what keeps coming up over and over again is the economy. People feel that the economy is working for billionaires and not us everyday folk. And other than the economy, also public education. People are very concerned about the attacks on public education right now. And another one is healthcare, Medicare, Medicaid. My highest priority is publicly funded universal healthcare, like the happiest countries on earth benefit from. And I think that it's time. That's what I mean when I say I'm a progressive Democrat, is it's time for progress. It's no longer time to continue with the status quo. It's now time to help our people be happier and healthier.
Well, you've mentioned your top priority there. What specific actions might you take to implement them?
Yeah, we have to get enough progressives in legislature for us to be able to pass this, but it would require a complete system overhaul where now the government would be able to negotiate prices and we would pay every bill just like we do for Medicaid and Medicare, except it'd be much simpler because instead of evaluating each bill, if the doctor says you need it, then you need it. And in a lot of countries where they have publicly funded universal health care, they sometimes have a copay system. And so I was just looking up Finland, the happiest country on earth. Their copay system has a maximum of $13 for radiation treatments and a whole year out of pocket maximum of $815 about. It's not in dollars, but converted to US dollars, that's about how much it is. And so just imagine if everyday folks were able to be sure that their doctor bills were never going to exceed $815 in a year, how much happier and healthier we would be. And so that's what I mean when I say I'm progressive and that it's time for progress.
Well, one of the healthcare things that's related to that is a woman's right to her own body. Do you have a position on that?
I do. As I was growing up, so I grew up in a Christian church, and When I was younger, I was very uncomfortable with the aspect of the Democratic Party that was abortion. But even still, when I was 12 years old and we learned about the differences between Republicans and Democrats, I could see that I was a Democrat because I thought that our taxes need to go to helping society. And I saw that the Democratic Party welcomes everybody. You know, they're trying to be make sure that everybody has the same rights. So for the first several years of my life, once I became political, which was early on, I would have described myself as a pro-life Democrat. But then several years back, I started really listening to stories of why women might need an abortion. And notice I say need. It is a healthcare need. I've come to realize that there are too many circumstances that could cause the need for an abortion that the government should just get out of that decision between a woman and her doctor. And I would add also, I just don't want the government in healthcare decisions, period. So that includes trans healthcare and women's healthcare and any healthcare. And the wonderful thing is that I can still call myself a pro-life Democrat because I believe that it is the most pro-life thing to enact democratic policies and to let women get the health care that they need. Sometimes abortion saves lives.
One of the things that makes it difficult to accomplish whatever you wish to do is money in politics, and some folks would say there's too much of it right now. Do you have a position regarding money in politics in the elections?
Yes, I think that we have too much money in politics. And even before Citizens United, there was a Supreme Court case that determined that money is speech and a type of speech. And that is what cleared the way then for Citizens United to be decided, which said that as long as political action committees don't coordinate with campaigns, they can contribute however much in ads and videos and anything toward a campaign. And I think that's wrong because with all of the ways that we can communicate nowadays, there's no way to make sure that a PAC is not coordinating with a campaign. And so I think we need to go back to that first Supreme Court decision that said that money is speech, and we need to write legislation that says otherwise, because if money is speech, then billionaires have a lot more right to free speech than the rest of us do. And so, yes, I think that we need to get money out of politics in that way, and we also need to make sure that billionaires are paying their fair share in taxes to put money back into the society that makes them rich in the first place.
Another issue that is raised and it causes a bit of controversy is gun control. And do you have any position on that?
So I grew up in Northwest Iowa, a very rural part of Iowa. My dad was a hunter, and I wanted to be a hunter too, but I just don't have the circulation for it. My fingers and toes get too cold out in the winter. And so after the first couple times my dad took me hunting and I whined and complained about my cold feet the whole time, he realized that wasn't going to work out. But otherwise, I probably would have been a hunter. But anyways, I think that guns are ingrained in American culture, and I do not want to take all guns away. What I am in support of is gun safety and helping make sure that kids are safe at schools and people are safe from themselves as well. Some of the highest gun deaths are suicides. And like my friend Rachel Burns up in District 7, she's running for State House, has a special election coming up December 9th. She always points out that one category of people that get ignored is old farmers. They are taking their lives with guns. And so gun violence touches many aspects of our society, and we do need to tackle it. We need to help keep people safe, but I also don't want to take away that part of our Americanism. So I think the Second Amendment is a little messy. It's, if you actually read the words of the Second Amendment, it is kind of hard to figure out what they were actually trying to say, because it's all about in order to have a militia, and a well-regulated militia, and what does that mean nowadays when we don't have that? And so, but anyways, at any rate, I don't want to take all the guns away, but I do want to help keep people safe. Some ideas are background checks and licensing guns, registering guns like we do cars. I've had pro-gun people come up to me and say that we need to do that. And so I appreciate that some people on different sides of the aisle are willing to talk about it, because it is a very much a polarized issue. And almost as soon as someone starts bringing it up, it starts causing division. And I think we need to come together and find what we have in common around that.
Well, another thing that seems to cause a good deal of division is immigration and immigration reform. And Iowa is a state that really does need a larger workforce than we have now. Do you have a position regarding immigration?
Absolutely. I was fortunate to grow up in Storm Lake, Iowa, which is the most diverse town per capita in Iowa. And so I've seen firsthand the beauty of diversity. I like to tell about how I have neighbors from three continents just to my south, my north, and kitty corner from me. And so I've tried some of the best coffee, those are just neighbors. They're just like normal people. They're really nice and they're great. So immigration, asylum laws are not nearly broad enough. So the purpose of asylum is to give people safety in another country. So the United States asylum laws are too tight. They are all about persecution. They're about race and religion. And so if someone's fleeing Central America due to gang violence, they do not qualify for asylum. And that's a problem, because I think that was the whole point of asylum, was to give people a safe place if they're under genuine threat. And gang violence and famine and that kind of thing, and corrupt governments, those are all valid reasons that people are immigrating here, and they're just trying to have a safe life, and they're working and they're contributing to our society, and above all, they are people. And so we need to treat them like people. And so we need to expand asylum, and we also need to make pathways to citizenship more feasible. It takes too many years and too much money. I hear it all the time. I'm fine with immigrants. They just have to do it the right way. Well, the right way is almost impossible for most immigrants coming here. And so we have been at the point of almost passing immigration law reform before, but then the Republicans have pulled out because they feel that they need it as a voting issue. And so I'm sick of immigrants who are, in general, they commit fewer crimes than the rest of Americans, and they're just good, hardworking people. I'm sick of them being demonized so that people can get voted for. That's wrong.
Well, thank you very much for spending time with us today. Is there anything else you'd like to say to our audience before we close?
I grew up in a low-income family. I lived in a trailer until I was 12, and I know what it's like to struggle. My whole life, I've been on a tight budget. I'm a stay-at-home mom now, but we budget very tightly to do that. We don't have a six-figure budget to work on. So I know people are hurting, and I know also that there's always going to be someone more qualified than me and someone who knows more than me. But I'm listening, I'm doing the hard work, and I'm smart enough to reach out to experts and learn from them and find out the solutions to this, and most importantly, to work with people. I will talk with anyone who's willing to talk to me. They don't have to be a Democrat. So I think we need someone willing to work with anyone to get the voices of the 4th District heard. Because my whole life, we've been represented by people who aren't listening to us. The billionaires and the special interests are what are getting the representation in the 4th District, and it's time for that to change.
Well, thank you again for sharing with us. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Conversations with Candidates, and we've been talking with Ashley Wolf Tornabain, a candidate for the Iowa 4th District of the United States House of Representatives.